If you're troubled and heavy hearted, come to Jesus and find your peace. If you run down empty handed, come to Jesus and find your strength. He is hope for the hopeless, rest for the weary, help for the hurting. He is mending the broken, bearing the burdens, all that you're needing. He is. If you're wandering in the darkness, Jesus, and find your way. If you want freedom or need forgiveness, just come to Jesus and find his grace. He is hope for the hopeless, rest for the weary, help for the hurting. Prince of Peace, author and maker of everything, deliverer, defender, and King of Kings. He is helper and healer forevermore, savior and shelter through every storm, our refuge, redeemer, and Lord of Lords. He is child of heaven and son of man, protector, the great I am, Alpha, Omega, beginning to end. He is help for the hopeless, rest for the weary, help for the hurting. He is mending the broken,
you are at the end of your rope.
If you have given up all hope.
If you feel beaten and battered by the world around you.
If you feel alone.
There is only one who can end our strife.
Jesus. He can give you a brand new life.
He can redeem you. Through faith and repentance, he will save us.
Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Receive Jesus today.
Let me ask you, are you committed to the body of Christ? No. Really, really think about it. Are you truly committed to the work of the kingdom ahead? Are you willing to give up anything to see people walk these aisles? Because if you are, Jesus calls for us to be a living sacrifice. You see, the truth is, many of us want to have Jesus come to our rescue, like a superhero who saves us and then disappears into the night, never to be heard of again. But today he has called us deeper. Today he wants a personal relationship with us. He wants to know us. And he wants us to serve him as a living sacrifice.
But I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings or what it has in store, I know I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. Tomorrow brings what it has in store. I know I will praise the Lord. This may be a prison, and these may be chains, but still I am free, free to praise His name. In tribulation, my heart still sings. He is Messiah, and He is the King of Kings. Prisoners started waking up, singing filled their ears. Some men started swearing, and others were in tears. And suddenly it happened, there was no mistake. As Paul and Silas praised the Lord, the walls began to shake. I will praise the Lord. What tomorrow brings or what it has in store, I know I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings or what it has in store, I know I will praise the Lord. Sing it with me. I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings or what it has in store, I know I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings or what it has in store, I know I will praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Today, you're going to look like an oddball. Friends, do you realize we are moving quickly and almost at the speed of light toward a one-world government? The America that we have known and loved for so long is being diluted. It's being absorbed, if you will, into a generation and a globalism that is spurred on by the global gullibility of those who will not stand alone. Though they've chosen to reject God, they've chosen to reject God's word, and they've chosen to stand against what is right. That's why we're living in a world today where they call evil good and good evil. You see, they don't want you to know what's right, and they're teaching not what is right. And during the pandemic, we witnessed an atmosphere of government enforcement. The Bible teaches that there is nothing new under the sun. because Nebuchadnezzar also created an atmosphere of government enforcement. Look with me here at verse 6. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Now, if you're listening this morning, say amen. The government in that day and the government in our day is trying to squeeze everybody into a mold. Now, when you hear these words, diversity, equity, and inclusion, in our world today, these are the three main tenets of critical race theory. You need to know something. You need to be educated. I needed to be educated, and I'm only sharing with you what I've learned. Critical race theory is a Marxist doctrine that teaches that you cannot stand for this and you cannot stand for that. Rather, we must all stand for the same thing. It is a satanic doctrine that teaches and promotes a victim's mentality. It is a doctrine that provides justice for some, but not equal justice for all. And I want you to know what the problem with critical race theory is that critical race theory does not stand for what the Bible stands for. It does not stand for what the cancel woke culture of the liberal left stands for. The Bible doesn't teach that. And the satanic liberal left are saying to Christians and those who will not go along with their great transition agenda, well, if you don't go along, we're going to arrest you. We're going to take you to court. We're going to take away the church's tax-exempt status. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. They just love to puff themselves up and blow like the big bad wolf, don't they? They say, you're in the way of the progress of peace. I want you to hear what the Bible says again. And I want to say something to you. This is not what Pastor Don is saying. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. Jesus said, John 16:2, in the last days, there's coming a time when those who will kill you will think they do God a service. Did you hear that? In the last days, there's coming a time when those who kill you will think they do God a service. Listen to me. There's an organization called Fundamentalist Anonymous. That is, I was once a member of a Bible-believing church. And they use the term fundamentalist as a sneer. People like Kamala Harris and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez claim Christianity is a form of mind control and nothing but a lie. They claim that Jesus Christ is nothing but a hoax. And they claim when you stand up and you say the Bible says this is wrong and this is right, Brother Derek, this is going to surprise you. You know what they say? Brother Derek, if he stands for what's right and what's wrong, he's just mentally ill. That's what they say. They say Christians are just mentally ill. And they claim that. These are people who have rejected God, who have rejected the Bible, who have denied the Christian values the Bible teaches. And I'm here to tell you this morning that we need to get Jesus Christ back in America again today. And we need to stand for Christian values whenever and wherever we can, because that's the day in which we're living today. And I want you to also know something else. There's a fourth thing that he created. Nebuchadnezzar created a culture of spiritual defilement. Look with me at verse 6. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth. Now I want you to learn this about Satan. Satan doesn't want casualties. Satan wants converts. He wants to be worshipped. And the Antichrist, when he comes, he wants to be worshipped. Listen to what the Bible says. Revelation chapter 13, verses 7 and 8. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's the kind of government enforcement that the Antichrist is bringing. Now you look around today. It's coming sooner than you think. This is the power that the satanic left is clamoring for. Now, why do I call them the satanic left? Because they don't stand for what the Bible stands for. It's because they haven't repented, turned right, and gone straight yet. Amen? And what we need to understand is we're not to be against the satanic left. We're to pray for the satanic left. The best thing that could happen is for God to open the gates of hell and to show them what awaits them if they do not repent, in the hopes that they will repent. Listen to me. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And they're not any worse than we were before we came to Christ. Listen to me. Sin is sin. Amen? And hey, before I came to Christ, I was nothing more than a vile sinner. Before I came to Christ, I would be giving my approval to everything they're doing, and so would you. And let us not forget that you and I are capable of committing every sin in the Bible if we're left to ourselves. Thank God the Holy Spirit lives inside of us and restrains us from all evil. Friends, we need to stand up. We need to pray. We need to pray as we've never prayed before, because it's coming sooner than you think. It's what the power that man has always wanted, and man is clamoring for power today. And so this is what you and I, as a child of God, are up against. And you say, well, that's just happening down there in the swamp in Washington. That's not going to happen here in Lebanon, Virginia. I'm going to tell you, wake up. It is happening here in Lebanon, Virginia, in the Bible Belt, in Southwest Virginia. The head of the Democratic Party marched down Main Street carrying a gay pride flag and then stood by the statue in the middle of town and declared that that thing needed to come down. We spoke at a children's rally to keep critical race theory out of our schools, to keep the LGBTQIA+, and they just keep adding letters, out of our schools. It's because they're against Christian values. You don't have to be a Republican. You don't have to be a Democrat. It's never been about parties. It's about Christian values and Christian values alone, and we need Christian values in America again today. And if we do not stand up here in our community, we're going to be run over by the swamp in Washington, D.C. And I'm going to tell you, I never thought in all my years as a pastor I'd ever stand in the pulpit and preach the way I have in these last few weeks. My friend, it's not about politics. It's about values. If all it is about politics, well then we'll just close the book and we'll all go on to hell together. It's about values. It's about what God values. It's about what His Bible teaches. It's about what God says, not about what man says. So don't leave here today and say, Pastor Don said, because Pastor Don don't have anything to say, but Jesus Christ has everything to say. Amen. And so I just want you to know, as Christians, what we're up against. We're up against emotional enticement. We're up against social inducement. We're up against governmental enforcement. We're up against spiritual defilement, and it is in this world today as never before. And so wherever you are today, you're listening online, wherever you are today, this is what is happening in our world today. You know, our school systems aren't what they used to be. I'm looking forward to a day when we go back to school and we honor the Lord our God by saying the Lord's Prayer in school, by having a time of prayer. I'm looking forward to a day when the Ten Commandments go back up in schools. I'm looking for a day when Christian values are taught in our schools. I'm looking forward to a day when our kids are learning about Jesus Christ. You know, when we took prayer out of schools, we brought the policemen in. How's that working for us? We took the Ten Commandments down. We began to live just like all this world I'm describing. Boy, I could preach all day, but I know some of you get hungry about noon. So we've come as far as we can go today. And so I'm just going to finish this message up next week. We're going to be talking next week about the faith they followed. And I want to say to you, the faith they followed is faith you and I need to be following. But for today, know this. As a Christian, you're going to have to learn to stand up. And I know some of you are fearful. You're afraid to go against the flow, and it's all right because you don't stand in your own strength. You stand with Jesus Christ, and He gives you all the strength you're ever going to need. But you need to stand up. And tomorrow night, the government center, we need to show up and show out because there's still these elements that want to kill children in the womb, and we spoke about that last week. It's nothing more than murder, and it's all it is. We need to stand for what we believe in. And if you belong to Jesus Christ, I want you to understand you're going to have to make a choice in this world. You're either going to have to stand up with Jesus Christ, you're going to have to stand with Jesus Christ. And friend, if you don't, do you know what you're going to do? You're going to deny Jesus Christ. And you're going to deny your Christian values. The days of a comfortable Christianity, they're over. These are days when you and I are going to have to choose who we will stand with and what we will stand for. And let us pray that all of us Christians who know what the Bible teaches will choose to do what Joshua did in his day. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. We will serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Because there's a heaven awaiting. Now, how many of you want to hear those words? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, I'm here to tell you, this is my belief. I believe the Bible teaches if we're going to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, we better be living what the Bible teaches.
Hello, friends. We want to thank you today for joining us on Digging Deeper. It's such an honor to get to enjoy this program with you. I hope you enjoy it also. I just want to talk to you for a couple moments about Christ here with me, if you'll bear with me for just a couple minutes. You know, when the world was created, God created the world so that mankind and Him could have a personal relationship. But when Adam and Eve decided to sin by eating of the tree of the fruit of knowledge and good and evil, we began to see sin enter the world, and sin separated man from God. So God had to come up with a way in which mankind and God could dwell together in a relationship again. So He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to dwell on this earth for 33 years, where He lived a perfect, sinless life, and was the perfect example of what it means to follow God. And through that, He died on Calvary's cross and was the ultimate sacrifice for all of sins, past, present, and future. When He did that, we began to have a way back to the Father. You know, we were able to then seek forgiveness and repentance. Now, I want to talk about that word repentance for just a moment. Repentance isn't always the same as just asking someone to forgive you. Repentance is asking someone to forgive you and then turning from it. So when we seek repentance to God, we are not just asking God to forgive us. We're asking God to forgive us, and then we're turning away from the former life we had, from the way we lived, from the things we did, from the way that we dwelled among this earth in a sinful manner, seeking the things of the world. Instead, we begin to seek the things of God. When we repent, and we true repentance, we want to have a personal relationship with God. Because as humans, that should be our human desire, as God created us for that. With that being said, today I hope, friends, that each one of you will ask yourself if you have true repentance in your life. And if you don't, would you today just pray this prayer with me? Father God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm in need of a Savior. Father, would you forgive me of my sins? Would you dwell within my life? Would you help me, Lord, to live for you in a more close and intimate way as you had designed it? Amen.
Were you there? Were you there in the pain? Were you there in the torment? Were you there as a once beautiful day turned to darkness and our Lord's blood was spilled on Calvary's mountain? Were you there? As he arose from the grave, defeating death and claiming victory, even though you may not have been there, he died for you.
A heartbeat. Seems simple enough, but what does it really mean? Does a heartbeat define life? Certainly, it could. But in reality, how highly would we have to think of our own being to determine life on our own? Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." The creator of the universe determines life before life exists, before there is a heartbeat, before there is movement, even before conception. Who am I to say otherwise? Who am I to choose death when the creator chose life?
If you are at the end of your rope,
if you have given up all hope,
if you feel beaten and battered by the world around you,
if you feel alone,
there is only one who can end our strife.
Jesus, He can give you a brand new life.
He can redeem you. Through faith and repentance, He will save us.
Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Receive Jesus today.